Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Wasn't sure if that worked the first time. I want to say thank you, first of all, to everybody that came out the last 2 days over at the new property there. A ton of cleanup and garbage takeout. And I really appreciate you making the sacrifice and the effort to be there. I really do. If you didn't make it, you missed out on cold water and popsicles. It's your fault. Huh? And sandwiches. Jimmy John's. This weekend we had, I don't know if I'll remember it all. Other than the 2 work days over there, we had a birthday party, a housewarming party, a graduation party, and something else I know I'm forgetting. I don't even know if our family even knows each other anymore. But as much as I love going to those things, all I'm going to say this morning is if I come to every one of your parties and you go to hell, I've failed. Parties do not matter on the grand scale of things. Gatherings are important, but they're not just going to get us to heaven. Your business is not going to get you to heaven. Your money is not going to get you to heaven. Your giving is not going to get you to heaven. There's only one thing that gets us into heaven. Truth. It's the only thing. So this morning, I want to preach to you. Last Sunday, as soon as I finished preaching, the Lord spoke to me about this topic. And I tell you that because some of you will immediately think that I'm preaching it because of you. And I am. But God had already spoken to me in advance. So I want to preach to you. Well, let's read the first 2 verses in John 8 and 31 through 32. I'm very happy to see you. Always encouraged to see people. Many years ago, my pastor at the time told me, he said, I can't relate to this generation anymore. Well, I couldn't relate to what he was saying. But I can tell you it's very hard to relate to this generation now. That's why we're generational. That's why the Bible says David died. David ministered to his generation, and he died. Because we're only generational. Because we couldn't go for 2 or 3 generations. We wouldn't be able to relate. We wouldn't be able to function. We wouldn't be able to be effective or anything. Because it takes a generation to know their generation. John 8:31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So now I want to get this out there from the very beginning. It isn't just about believing. That is the number one lie that Satan has taught us. He said to the believers, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. And then he said, and you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. So believing didn't make them free. He said continuing in his word, which then would lead to knowing the truth, which then would lead to being set or made free. I want to preach to you on this title, The Truth Isn't a Lie. Let's pray one more time. Jesus, let your presence and your power be in this place right now, I pray. I bind and take authority over every unclean spirit, over every lying spirit, over every deceptive spirit, by the name and the power of Jesus Christ, that our minds would be able to receive and embrace what you have for us today. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I asked ChatGPT one day because I had heard what some things, you know, how rumors spread, and oh, I asked Alexa this, and she told me we're in World War III already, and all that silly stuff. So I heard one. Said, I asked ChatGPT, if you were the devil, what would you do? So I thought, well, let me ask that question. I'm kind of curious what the answer would be. So I did. Here's what the response was. Number one, I probably would not focus on dramatic evil. I'd focus on subtle things. I'd convince people that truth doesn't matter. I would turn disagreements into hatred. I would keep people distracted so they never reflect. I would encourage short-term pleasure at the expense of long-term well-being. I would make people feel isolated even when surrounded by others. I would reward arrogance and punish humility. I would replace meaningful relationships with endless comparisons and resentment. And I would persuade people that their actions don't matter, so they stop trying to do good. Pretty powerful for a robot. Or whatever it is. I don't even know. Who cares? It's all over the place now. Thank you. C.S. Lewis said, the greatest trick of evil is often not open destruction, but quietly leading people away from what is good without them noticing. So to combat this attack on truth, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and it shall make you free. If you've been around for any length of time, then you understand truth is not just, well, it's not subjective for sure. And truth is not obvious. If I were to look at people in this building today and I were to say, well, you look like you got it together, I'd probably be deceived. And I don't mean that in a bad way. Sometimes what you see is not what is reality. We all walk in this place with a smile and a handshake. Some of us with bad breath. Some with bedhead. And we want everybody to believe we got together, but the truth is we're all just trying to get to heaven. And some days it's a battle. Some weeks are a war. Every day is not pleasant. Every day is not easy. The truth is, we're just trying to hold on until we get there. And so Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Because sometimes you got to discover truth. You ever been a part of a trial? A trial is meant to discover the truth. And sometimes trials can take years. Because sometimes the truth is that entrenched that you got to dig and you got to find and you got to unturn every stone. Now, the frightening part is the scariest reality is truth can be what we make it. I looked up a few of the CIA's stealth operations that have been unclassified. You see, they declassify things once you get about a generation or two past them. Then nobody really cares, nobody understands, and that's how top secret stuff gets declassified. There was one in 1954 for Guatemala called Operation PB Success. The CIA orchestrated the overthrow of a Guatemalan president, Jacob Arbenz, as part of the operation. It created a fake rebel army that appeared much larger than it really was. It broadcast false radio reports claiming the government was collapsing, spread disinformation to create panic among military leaders and civilians. Now, don't be discouraged. They only spread misinformation to create panic among the populace in 1954. It ended then. It was just for that population, just for that time. They conducted psychological warfare to convince people that resistance was hopeless. Sounds like society. Sounds like people I talk to every day. The campaign, they said, succeeded largely because many people believed the fabricated reports. I wish I could get some people to say social media. In 1953 in Iran, they had what was called Operation Ajax. CIA and British intelligence helped remove the prime minister at the time. Their methods included paying newspapers to publish false or misleading stories. Hiring people to stage demonstrations. Really? Paying political figures to spread rumors. Wow, I'm shocked, clearly. Creating the impression that, I cannot even say his last name, Mossadegh, had lost public support. Lies. All lies. We could summarize the CIA by saying, you're liars. Everything you do is built on lies. Then there was Operation MK Ultra. The CIA secretly drugged unwitting citizens in the United States with LSD. They lied about the purpose of the experiments. They conducted behavior modification research without informed consent. They say much of this documentation was destroyed, but there's still enough surviving records in the Senate that confirms the program existed. Those are just a few of many that have been declassified. I've read many others over the years. The point is, when you get to a place in our world where it's so easy to fabricate truth and take a lie and make it what you want people to believe that it is, it becomes a very dangerous precipice for society. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11 and 10, now I want you to focus on this verse, as the truth of Christ is in me. It's not something that you do. Truth is not something that you make. Truth is something that becomes a part of you. You see, a liar is a liar because lying is a part of them. But when you become a Christian, over time, the truth should be a part of us. As the truth of Christ is in me, I'm reading the Amplified in this particular text. I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you. He says, my boast of independence will not be silenced in the regions of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you or wish you well, having regard for your welfare. There's a question mark. He's saying, I'm doing this because I love you. That's why. I will not be moved because I love you. I will not move away from truth because I love you that much. Sounds like a preacher that I know. Verse 12, but what am I doing? I will keep doing, for I'm determined to keep this independence. What he meant by independence was independence from manipulation and lies. He meant in preaching and delivering the truth in its purest form without being persuaded by political correctness or by what the crowds wanted to hear. And he goes on in verse 13, for such men are counterfeit apostles, deceitful workers masquerading as apostles of Christ. There's where the battle came in. No wonder, he said, since Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So it is no great surprise if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness, but their end will correspond with their deeds. This verse alone should frighten every truly God-fearing individual. You see, if you're not truly God-fearing, you will easily fall into the lies and the manipulation of false prophets and false preachers and false Christ. Why? Because you want to hear something And normally the one that speaks the truth won't lie to you, but you won't want to hear it anyway. So you get upset at them, and the Bible says, so then we will find heap to ourselves teachers having itching ears, giving heed unto fables and turning away from the truth. So we'll eventually find a preacher that's masquerading as an angel of light. Now here's the kicker. It could be a man that is genuine and sincere and prays, but he has become, as Paul said, he has become entangled by the populace, entangled by popularity, and those things ultimately lead people away from truth. T.D. Jakes, Bishop Billy Cole married T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes renounced some things over the years. They put pressure on him. His following had gotten so big, and they put pressure on him to denounce the oneness of God. You say, oneness of God, the Lord thy God is one Lord. I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. You see, that's the truth. And so he eventually capitulated, and he bowed, and whatever else is between him and God, that's his business. But what I'm saying is, this is what the apostle was trying to avoid. He wanted to hold on, he said, to his independence. And he began to speak against those preachers that masqueraded themselves as angels of light. And he said, it's no wonder, because Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Now, that verse should frighten you. That means the devil is so good at masquerading and pretending. Is it any surprise to you that we live in a world of pretenders? That we live in a world of grown men that like to dress up into costumes and walk around with capes on, pretending like they're superheroes, rather than working a full-time job and making a living? Because the world does not want the truth. We don't want to acknowledge the depth of our brokenness. We don't want to acknowledge our inefficiencies. We don't want to acknowledge our inadequacies. We don't want to acknowledge our weaknesses. We don't even want to acknowledge sometimes that we ourselves have been deceived. It's a whole lot easier to believe a lie than it is the truth. That's why the CIA is so successful in their deceptive operations. The Bible calls Satan the father of all lies. Going back to our opening text in verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he that sent me. When he said you would love me, he's talking about a natural love. Our love for God should be a natural love. It shouldn't be something we have to force ourselves to. It's like a marriage. You shouldn't have to force yourself to love your spouse. You shouldn't have to force yourself to do things with your spouse. There should be a natural love, a desire to be with that person, a desire to do things for that person, even when you're mad at them. And so he said, if God were your father, you would love me. There would be a natural, I could preach, but I'm not allowed because we don't want truth. You would naturally want to be in church on Sundays and on time. You would naturally want to be in church when the doors are open. I know, see, I already feel there's the pushback. There it comes. You'd naturally want to be a part of the body of Christ. When you have link groups, fellowship groups, you would naturally want to be. Why? Because that's the body. I want to be around the body. Now listen, that's not condemnation. That is me trying to shed a little bit of light on truth. Sometimes we don't know what's in our spirit. Now I'm going to show you the scripture, so just hang tight with me. Now, before I move on, let me just say, if that natural love, if you got to fight to be in church, there is a problem with your love, the natural love that you should bear towards your father. And what does that do? That should set warning bells off in my life and say, I've got to stop toying around. I need to find a prayer room and reignite my relationship with Jesus. I'm not going to believe a lie anymore and convince myself that I'm okay. Listen, I've listened to everybody in the world tell me how good, how okay they were. We're fine. And they're lying and they know they're lying. But we have come to the point we'd rather believe a lie because it's easier than confronting the truth. Now, listen, I want you to hold on. Don't get all uptight on me. Those of you in the back cheap seats like to scoot out of church early, just sit tight and hang on because we're going to turn this whole thing around by the end. But you got to hang on with, you got to hear the truth first. And so Jesus talked about this natural love that we should have towards the Father. He said, why do you not understand my speech? So as he's preaching, they're not grasping what he's saying. That shouldn't surprise us because we have a hard time sometimes understanding. You ever get done with the service? Well, you haven't unless you preach and you walk up to so-and-so and you say, hey, how you doing? I love that message, man, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, I didn't preach anything of the sort. I have no clue where you, and then you go over there and I love that, man. It was so blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, well, I was a little closer than where I was at. And see, everybody, why? Because sometimes we have a difficult time understanding. And so all we can do is apply to the best of our understanding. That's not a crime. Don't get upset at me now. He said, why don't you understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You see, that's a resistance. You can't hear my word. You can't hear the truth. You won't hear the truth. When it comes to you, you will not take it in. You will not allow it to apply to your life because the truth sometimes can be difficult. There used to be an old adage that we would say in society, and that was that truth can be hard. But we don't say those things anymore because we try to avoid the truth altogether. We would rather let men think they're women and women think they're men. We would rather let people think they're okay. We would rather take somebody who's got some serious mental issues and just call them a victim and pacify them rather than confront truth and try to really help people because only the truth will set you free. But you see, Satan does not want people to be set free. He does not want people to hear the truth. He wants them to believe little pieces of the truth. He wants us to take and apply things that feel good to us. And so he said, why don't you understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. What does he mean by the devil was a murderer? Who did the devil murder? He murdered truth. That's what he murdered. He killed truth from the very beginning. When he thought that he could place himself and elevate himself above God, that wasn't truth. That was a lie. But see, he believed his own lies. Have you ever heard that liars believe their own lies? Now some of y'all are like, oh yeah, I'm right there. I understand that real good. It becomes second nature to you. And so he says, we read this wrong for too many years. You're of your father, the devil. He was a murderer and you're a murderer. He's not saying we're killing people. He's saying we're killing truth. We are killing truth. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Is it possible that you're telling me that we just read the words of Jesus? And he said, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. So if Jesus can tell the truth and we won't believe it, then I bet you my bottom dollar I could tell you the truth and you wouldn't believe it. So what's the answer? Well, we'll get there, but the first answer is that natural love. Because natural love, listen, I could say it this way. This is in a way that you might understand. Natural love does not ask your spouse to have plastic surgery. You accept your spouse for as they are. The truth. That's who they are. I'm not going to ask you to be somebody you're not. Truth. Natural. Let's forget the looks. Let's make it easier for you. Natural love accepts your spouse even though some of their ways you don't like. Whoever said you have to like their ways? Whoever said we would? We're two different people. And then we're two different beings, men and women. Give up on that. Never going to be fixed. Never. Never. So what do? We accept the truth of who we are. My wife would probably, I won't say what she'd probably say about me. And some of it is the truth, and some of it is the father of liars. And so Jesus is teaching that Satan is the originator or the source of lying and deception. The Bible also describes Satan as the deceiver of the whole world in Revelations. Let me say that one more time. The deceiver of the whole world. Look at your neighbor and say, you're part of that whole world. And then look back at him and say, so you've been deceived. The serpent who deceived Eve. He began in the beginning. Immediately, Eve walks up. She does what every Christian should do. She listens to God and the word. And all of a sudden, here comes the liar, the father of all lies. And he says, can you eat of that tree? Oh, no. The Lord told us we shouldn't eat of this tree. Don't partake of it. And he said, oh, that's a lie. See, the liar called the word of God a lie. Huh. I seem to see a lot of that in society today. The Old Testament doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. You're reading that wrong. Oh, that's not what it says. He's turned everything. He's turned the entire word of God into a lie. And he began in the very beginning in the garden. That's a lie. You're not going to die. You're going to become like gods. And he's telling us those same things today. Now people believe there is no heaven, there is no hell, there's no eternity. When you die, you die, you're gone. They believe the lies that continue on. We believe we'll live forever. The Bible calls him the tempter in Matthew. Calls him the accuser of the brethren in Revelations. I could read about that all the time and people still wouldn't get it. They wouldn't get it. I get accused of things all the time. And they don't even know that they're just believing the liar, the father of all liars. That's where all this stuff starts. That's where it all starts.
They don't love you. Nobody cares if you're there.
Nobody cares if I'm here.
You'll never be a part of that group.
I'll never be a part of this group.
You're not one of them.
I'm not one of them. That's the problem. The accuser of the brethren, the liar, the father of all lies. You're not in the inner circle. I'm not in the inner circle. That's why I don't get picked for anything. Nah, it's your attitude. That's the truth. It's not the inner circle. It's your attitude. We don't want to put poison on our lips. Can we be truthful? He's the accuser of the brethren. So I have a question for you. How is Satan so successful? Our world is in chaos. I'm not sure what bubble you live in, but I am telling you, our days in this life are numbered. That's the truth. So how is he so successful? Well, we've already said a lie is easier to believe than the truth. It was easier for Eve to believe that she'd become like gods than she would die. And then here come the statements. Well, that's probably true, because if God loved me, why would I die? If God loved me, he wouldn't do this. If God loved me, there's the father of liars. He started then. Feather-fluffing messages are much easier to swallow. When you testify in court, they ask you something. If you've ever testified in court, they have you raise your right hand, and they say, repeat after me. Now, I don't even know if it really matters anymore, but they still do it. It's probably a matter of formality. Do you swear to tell the truth? That's not good enough, though, when you testify in court. You don't just say yes. The whole truth? You mean there are other pieces of nothing but the truth? So help you God. And some people, I do. And they lie anyway. You see, there's the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That is what our country was founded on. That is the type of life that we're supposed to be living. That's the type of Christians that we're supposed to hold truth, nothing but the truth. It's easy for me to believe the truth about Brother Jerome, but it's not easy for me to believe the truth about myself. If I were to walk up, listen, if I were to, are we okay? I'll preach in a minute. If I were to do the things that Jesus did, there wouldn't be any church left, nothing. You hypocrites. You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Jesus did. You hypocrites. TJ's getting mad at me. I'm not talking to you. I'm just kidding. How about when he called? How about? You're the devil. Devil. You're Satan himself incarnate. He used those words on people. What are some other ones? Let's see who reads the Bible. You vipers. Huh? What? Dogs? You dog. Now, sometimes those things are truth. I've always been of the mindset that Jesus is speaking to the spirit in them. When he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan! You don't know what spirit you're of." He was speaking to what was within Peter. He wasn't calling Peter Satan. Sometimes we have a devil spirit in us. I didn't say we're possessed. I said we have a devilish spirit, and a devilish spirit is a lying spirit. That's one of the worst devilish spirits you can have. That's why we got to be people of truth. And so if I said those things, you wouldn't have a church left. But those things are the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Now, in Romans 1:25, the Bible says, when speaking of the people, they changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Was it just them? Are they the only ones going to hell? Or is that the nature of humanity, to change the truth of God into a lie, to make God who we want him to be, to make the gospel what we want it to be, to make truth what we want it to be? They took the truth of God and they turned it into a lie. So rather than accepting the truth that God is the creator, he's worthy, we exchange the truth for falsehood. And that does include idolatry, believing lies about God, about our fellow man, morality, talked about that already, identity. Truth, in reality, is a challenge. Truth is a challenge. You ain't never seen hard till you had to preach to a mixture of couple hundred people. You've never seen hard. You know why? Because you got to try to find a balance that will reach each person without offending anybody, which is almost impossible, and bring the truth to each person's life and lifestyle as they are and where they're living at that time, at that moment, and then in hopes that they will receive that truth and accept it and embrace it. And so John 16 and 12, it teaches us this concept and this problem about truth. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you. It's John 16 and 12. I didn't give that to you. I have but yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. I have a question for you. What does God have to say to you that you can't bear so it's not said? I know there are people I would love with all sincerity to say things to, but I can't. They won't listen. They won't hear it. They can't handle it. Jack Nicholson, best line ever. You can't handle the truth. Prophetic. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now watch this. When the Spirit of truth comes, he'll guide you. It is progressive. It's a journey into truth. That's why when you are a young Christian, you can't take everything and make it your foundation for the rest of your life. Because as your understanding opens up, as you grow, your perception of truth will change. And then you'll be put into a situation where you feel like you're betraying your roots, when in actuality, God has just brought you into a greater understanding of truth. He will, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth will help you. God, I'm back in King James, Alexis. So could it be that we have set Satan up for success? Could it be that we have set the father of all liars up for success by our inability or our unwillingness to embrace truth? Could it be that we have empowered him? Now, if we could entertain this possibility unanimously in this room, we could strip the adversary of his power. If we could entertain the possibility that me, through stubbornness, through naiveness, through brokenness, through hurt, through betrayal, or whatever, have set up the enemy to be the father of lies in my life. That's what Jesus meant when he said, you are of the your father, the devil. He wasn't belittling them. He was saying, you have made the devil your father because he's the father of lies, and you have chosen to live a lie. And God cannot be your father if you're the father, if the father of liars is your father. If you believe the father of liars more than the father of truth, I feel the Holy Ghost. God can't be your father. So he was not excommunicating anybody. He was just saying, you have chosen the father of liars by choosing to live a lie, believe lies, or not allow your spirit to be examined to make sure that your spirit is capable. God, if there's one prayer you should pray when you walk through the doors of the church, let my spirit embrace truth. Let my spirit embrace truth. If we could entertain the possibility that we have empowered Satan as the father of all lies, because a lie is only as good as we are willing to believe it. A lie dies when we choose the truth over a lie. No matter how tough that, if that truth is, Jesus did it all at Calvary, or the truth is, you must be born again of the water and the Spirit. Whatever that truth is, the moment I choose to embrace truth, if that truth is, your attitude stinks. Your spirit. Listen, I'm a big boy. Sometimes my attitude stinks. If you had to deal with people all the time, your attitude would stink too. I'm just going to tell you. But sometimes, Brother Javon, my attitude just stinks. It stinks. Stinks, 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 stinks. But some people, I couldn't just go to anybody in this room and say your attitude stinks, because you'd be surprised, those of you I'd come to. You would. Well, why does my attitude stink? That's why. Right there. Your inability to receive truth. But listen to me. Hear me now. I want to preach to you for a second. If we would make truth our priority and our platform, and we would make it, I'm telling you, from doctrine all the way down to my lifestyle. If we'd make that our platform, our worlds would change. God would begin to do things he's not been able to do. Our heart would change. Our love would become more pure. It would no longer be adulterated love. The Lord says, you adulterers and adulteresses. Why? That's what he calls us. Because there has been fornication between us and the world, or the spirits of the world, and we have left our first love. That was the problem with the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church had multiple spouses, and Jesus was just one of them. You left your first love. You got your second and your third and your fourth. Your love can be your hobbies over your love for God. Your love can be the beach over attending the house of God on Sunday. Your love can be your job over being in the house of God. But when we make the decision that I am going to embrace, receive, cherish, seek truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, hey, in my life, not my neighbor's life, not Facebook world, but in my life, God will change your world. Now listen, I haven't got to my message yet. So I'm going to read some things. I don't know if you could play for me, please, honey. As I read these things, I want you all unanimously, even you stubborn people that don't like to follow along. Now, see how quiet it got? Because all the stubborn people that don't like to follow along know exactly who I'm talking to. I love you just because you're stubborn, just like you loved your daughter because she was stubborn, and your mother loved you because you were stubborn. And we still love each other even though we're stubborn, but denying the truth doesn't change one thing. You know what I found out about Ashtabula County? Full of stubbornness. Stubborn people. You know why you don't have a Facebook battle? Because you never win. People only believe what they want to believe. Period. Truth. But the problem in my message to you today is the truth is not a lie. The truth is the truth. And the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Let me give you some examples of freedom. Free from anxiety. Free from fear. Free from bondage. Free from possession or oppression. Free from lies. Free from anger. I know you like to blame everybody else for your anger, but your spirit is out of control. That's the truth. But the truth will set you free. I've had to look at myself over the years and say, your spirit's out of control. It's not right. Truth. So I'm going to read some things. And as I read them, I'm asking. Now, listen, if you don't do it, I'm coming and standing by you. So I'm watching you. I'm just telling you right now. You may get lucky. I might not see you because my eyes are in front of my head. I'm not like a rhinoceros. They're not over here. But I'm going to scan. I'm going to come and stand by you. If you're going to be that stubborn, then we're just going to all let everybody know who the stubborn people are. You ready? It's easy. You should want to comply because it's very easy. Are you ready? When I read these to you, I want you to shout out, liar. Are you ready? Yes. They don't care about you. Liar. You're not on the buddy list. Liar. Everyone excludes me. Liar. Got a little quieter there. I'm going to try that one more time. Everyone excludes me. Liar. You will never be accepted. God doesn't love you. Fire. You are beyond repair. Fire. I can't do this. Losing him already. I can't do this. I'll never get victory over this. God will never use me. I'll never get beyond this place in my life. Every one of those things are lies from the father of lies. And when we make a decision, I will seek truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. God will set you free from that thinking, from that mentality. God will set you free, but you've got to make a conscious decision. I want the truth. I want the truth and nothing but the truth. Preach the truth to me. The truth is, as I say all the time, hell hath enlarged herself beyond measure. The truth is, more people aren't getting saved. More are going to hell, and hell keeps growing. Hell's got the biggest building program in the universe. That's the truth. The truth is, Jesus said, hey, I'm going to pull it up for you. I always twist this one up. It's in two places in the Bible. One of them Jesus spoke. Matthew 7 and 13. Can you throw it up there? The truth is, Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. You can't be all over the place. You can't be wavering. You cannot be unstable. You cannot be unsure. You can't be in this week, out next week. He said, enter into the straight gate. It's not a hard gate. It's not a difficult gate. It's just a straight gate. I'd like to see this sometime. You go out there in the front on some Sunday morning, and I want you to see, try and get 25 people try to push this door at one time. It won't happen. They'll be bouncing. You know why? Because it's only one way. That's it. Just one way. It's not a hard way. It's just open the door and walk through that door. When we were down there in Kentucky looking at the Noah's Ark, it never dawned on me, but as I'm looking at it, I'm looking at the door. The Lord spoke to me, and he showed me the typology. He said there was only one way in and only one way out. And God shut the door, and when he shut the door, it was shut. Doesn't matter how much you think you got a second opportunity, when it's shut, it's shut. And it wasn't hard. Just go in the door that God created. That's it. That's it. But the father of all liars convinces us, well, it's okay, you can go through the window. Or you can come a little late. If God loves you, he's not going to leave you outside. A God that loved you wouldn't do that to you. But no, he said, I sent you preachers. He told the rich man that was in hell. He said, you want me to send people back from the dead to preach to your brothers? If they won't receive Moses and the prophets that they have of them now, the one would come back from the dead? That's a lie. They would not win. They would not win them. So he said, enter you in at the straight gate. And broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Go to the next verse. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Find it. Yes, it's the way of truth. It's the way of truth. It's not hard. We just have to fall in love with truth. We just have to desire truth with all of our heart. No matter what it does to me, no matter how much it upsets my lifestyle, truth is truth. There are many of you here that have gone through cancer, and the day that you got that notification and the day you got that from your doctors, you could go home and go on just like normal if you wanted to, but that's not going to do anything. But the truth is, your life has changed, and you got to change your lifestyle now. We got a world that's trying to live in the world and in the church at the same time. But I've come to you today to give you the truth. And the truth is, you got to be in the church or out of the church. The truth is, you got to fall in love with Him with all of your heart. He's got to be your first love, your primary love. That's the truth. It's not hard. It's just the truth. I'm almost done. A little bit of uncomfortable truth for you. When I stand in the mirror sideways, I don't like what I see. That's the truth. I looked in the mirror to get ready this morning, and I told my wife, I said, I don't know what you did to offend God, but I'm telling you, you offended God. And she looked at me, and I said, God is laughing and saying, huh, you're going to be stuck with that baggy-eyed, saggy-eyed guy every morning. You got to look at him. That's why I told her. Ask her, I'm not lying. Listen, so, oh, no, I'm not afraid of the truth. You haven't seen me in the morning. Now, I have lost weight. But the truth is, I'm still not Brother Jerome. You know, how can you let God love you if you won't even love yourself? We got a world that tells you change it, change it, change it, change it. Got a bunch of people with money look like a bunch of aliens. And you know what? We'll still let our kids hang their posters on their walls. But you know what the truth is? The truth is, ladies, you're beautiful just the way you are. That's the truth. The truth is, as we get older and the longer we're married, we learn to love more. We learn to love more. Now, here's the truth, and you're not going to like it. But we learn to love more for the person that we're with rather than the way the person looks. We all change. What do you think the Bible meant when it said we shall all be changed? You thought that was a good thing, didn't you? No, we're changing before we're changed. And you learn to value that person. And then we all do the same thing. Oh, this is me when I was 20, when I was skinny and pretty. This is me when I was younger. I remember my pastor told me once, he said, I used to be really muscular. I said, really? He goes, yeah. He said, it all just falls when you get older. Truth. The truth. You know what the truth is? The truth is there are people here right now, if Jesus came at this very moment, you would be lost forever for eternity. I'm not saying who. That's the truth, though. But you know what the other truth is? That God is merciful. And the rest of the truth is, where sin does abound, grace that much more will abound. The truth is, he said, let him who will come. He said, come unto me, you are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The truth is, Calvary was perpetrated over 2,000 years ago, and it still has an effect in our lives today. It's still for those that want truth. It's still for those that want to fall in love with Him, and they want Jesus Christ to be everything in your life. The truth is, we got to fix some things now while there's time. The truth is, Jesus is coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Not a bride that don't know they're the bride. Not a bride that doesn't have a church body. He's coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle. That's the truth. I'm almost done. So he said, Jesus, not our dairy. Jesus said, put it back up there. Enter ye in at the straight gate. If you try to find a window to crawl through, you're going to spend the rest of your life looking for shortcuts and you'll be lost. Enter in at the straight gate. And broad is the way that leads to destruction. It's much easier to go to hell than what we'd love to admit. All you got to do is just not care about truth. But when we fall in love with truth, He is the way, the truth, and the light. And no man cometh to the Father except through Jesus. He's the way. He is the truth. Remember the very first, which verse was it? Hold on, I'm finishing. Oh, mercy, only a couple verses here. Where's it at, people? You know what I'm talking about. No, you don't. Oh, as the truth of Christ is in me. As the truth of Christ is in me. And we began with, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So I guess I've come to you today not to send you to hell, to tell you to continue. Pick up where you left off. Pick up what God is putting in your plate today. Become a lover of truth. When you wake up tomorrow morning, ask yourself, if Jesus Christ returns today, am I ready? Am I ready? Have I given myself wholeheartedly to him? Am I ready? And the truth is, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man is born again, he shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus, because he had not come fully into truth yet, he said, I don't understand what you're talking about. Am I supposed to crawl back into my mother's womb? And he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of the water and the spirit, he shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's not hard. It's just truth. You must be born of the spirit and you must be born of water. And Peter said, wherefore baptism doth now also save us, not the putting of the way of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. We are buried with him through baptism, and we are risen with him in the faith and the operation of God. That's the easy truth. That's just easy truth. That's why John the Baptist baptized. He didn't baptize to save people. He baptized as an example for baptism. And that's why when he was gone and Jesus had ascended, the disciples, they were preaching, and in Acts 2:38, they said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Water and spirit baptism. And then the Samaritan believers in Acts chapter 8. I didn't plan on going here, but just give me a minute. In Acts chapter 8, the Bible said when the Samaritans had received the word of God, had a Methodist pastor years ago want to sit down and talk about our doctrine, so we did. And I said, well, I don't believe you just accept Jesus as your Savior. That's just the beginning. He said, so do I. Well, okay. I said, I believe you must be born again of the water and the spirit. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, so do I. And I thought, okay, well, that's confusing. I thought we were way off base here. And then I got it, and I said, okay, well, what do you believe happened? How do you know when you're filled with God's spirit? He said, it's easy. The moment you're baptized, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, oh, see? And thank God he had already led me into all truth, and I found it. And so I said, well, what about the Samaritans? They were already baptized. And the Bible says when Peter and John heard that they had received the word of God, they came down to pray for them they might receive the Holy Ghost. They were baptized. They were believers. And the scripture says only they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And he went down to pray for them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And there was a visible external sign. You know how we know? Because Simon said, the Bible says, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands the Holy Ghost was given, the million-dollar question, what did Simon see? Saw what happened in Acts chapter 2. When they of Pentecost fully come, there with one accord in one place, and suddenly they came to the sound of heaven as a rushing mighty wind and filled the house. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as the fire that sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. You know the neat thing about truth? Truth will keep reaching for you until you die. That's a neat thing about truth. But you know what happens? Sometimes we'd rather believe a lie because we allow our egos to get in the way. I wasn't raised in this, but I found the truth, Brother Kenny. I found the truth. And then the Gentiles, the Bible says they went to them, and the scripture says, and Peter was preaching to the Gentiles, and while he was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And the Jews that were standing by, the Bible says they were amazed because the Holy Ghost was also poured out on the Gentiles. For we heard them speak with new tongues. And then Peter said, should any forbid that these should be water baptized? I'm reaching for somebody. I don't know who, but this ain't in my notes. I'm trying to help you. Should any forbid that they should be water baptized as were we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Commanded. He didn't say, get over here now and get in that baptismal tank. He said, you must now be born of the water now that you have been born of the Spirit. You know what they did? They argued with them. And they called it legalism. And they did what we all do very well today. They went back home and they resisted truth because they were stubborn. No, they were all baptized. And then my favorite one, you know it, is in Acts chapter 19. The whole book of Acts is, let me tell you, you know what the whole book of Acts is? The whole book of Acts is only John 3:3, 4, and 5 being played out after Jesus ascended. Water, Spirit, water, Spirit, water, Spirit, water, Spirit. They were going to all the believers, not sinners, believers, preaching water and Spirit baptism. Then they get to, and Paul, having passed through the upper coast, he came across the disciples of John. And he said, hey, would you guys like to go have dinner? Maybe we can do a little Bible study one time. No. He just threw it out there. Truth. Why? Because truth will set you free. We want to dance around truth for, we want to hurt people's feelings and all that. And so we want to play games of truth, but truth. And he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They were believers. They did not have the Holy Ghost. And they said, we haven't heard of this Holy Ghost. He said, how are you baptized? Because he knew what Jesus taught John, water and Spirit. Except the man is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they said, we are baptized under John's baptism. Paul said, oh my God. He said, John only baptized under repentance, teaching the people just to believe on Jesus. That's what he said, paraphrased. But Jesus is ascended now, and now he poured out his Spirit in the upper room. And the Bible said they were rebaptized, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke with tongues and magnified God. That's truth. I heard a preacher preach on John 3:5 years ago. I'm finishing. And I thought, oh, this is awesome. He was another denomination. He read the scripture and did not commentate one time on the scripture that he read. I had a young Christian years ago. I asked him about it. I said, what's it mean to be born of the water and the Spirit? He said, well, the water is when you're born and your mother's water breaks. Oh, so everybody's forcefully baptized as babies, huh? Glad to know that. And what about the people with C-sections? And then why did Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and everybody else baptize people? Did they not know? Did they think they were all C-sectioned people? That's the biggest lie from hell that's come out. And I never heard it until I moved out into Ashtabula County. Never heard it. I was shocked the first time I heard it. I mean, forcefully baptizing babies, that sounds like God. Huh. I didn't know what I was saying. So, the truth isn't a lie just because the father of lies says it is. We are loved by God. We are loved by this church. We can be mighty through Christ. The truth is, Jesus died at Calvary. He opened the door. And I want to just help somebody. I know I keep saying I'm stopping, but just give me a second because I feel like I'm reaching for somebody. Here's the truth. I've heard people tell me, and this was, they were saying this as a way of, I don't have to do anything. Faith without works is dead. I will remind you, you got to do something. You can't sit there like a bump on a log and say, Jesus, do it all. No, he wants willing vessels. And the truth of it is, when he died at Calvary, that had nothing to do with the remission of our sins. That's Bible. I see I got you all worked up now. Just hang tight for a second. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. What happened at Calvary is you're a criminal. The Lord said, I took your criminal record upon me. But guess what? Penalty. He said, I went to prison for you. That's what happened at Calvary. But you know what? You still have a record. And that is where the baptismal tank comes in. Be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. In that watery grave, your record disappears. Yes, you've already been set free, but your record disappears. You are buried with him through baptism. Not hard, just truth. Just truth. It's easy. Easy. Jesus taught Nicodemus easily. Here, I'm going to open this thing up in faith. He taught, I don't want any help either. He taught Nicodemus through faith. I got it. Thank you, though. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus couldn't understand him. And he said, all right, let me clear this up. Let me say it this way. Maybe it'll help you. Except a man is born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You know what that is? Flesh, that's repentance. That's flesh. Repentance is flesh. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost pull me here for some reason. Repentance is flesh. You go up in your conviction, you and the Lord, and you say, God, I need to change my life. I need to fix my life. And guess what? As a Christian, sometimes you still got to change your life because you get off course. Anybody ever get lost on a road trip? Yep, you know what I'm talking about. We get lost sometimes. We go off course. Repentance. Water baptism. That's you and Jesus. You go in, you come out a brand new person in Christ Jesus. And then when he fills you with the Holy Ghost, now you have been fully born again, transformed. Listen, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. I understand we take that scripturally, literally, but you cannot go to heaven as you are. You must be born again first. You must be transformed in this life before you can be transformed in the next. And you know what that takes, Brother Kenny? Just people that say, I don't care. I just want truth. You got a robe? That's it. That's it. Is there anybody here this morning that you're feeling that tug right now? And you say, hey, we got robes. We got towels. We'll do it all. It doesn't matter. And if there's a few bugs in the water, don't worry about it. I guarantee you when John baptized people, there was all kind of stuff in there. Stand with me if you would. Because I know that people don't want to be called out. I didn't plan on closing this way. Something in me says I want truth. I walked away from this pulpit last Sunday, Brother Doug, and the Lord said to me, he said, the father of all lies, preach it next week. I thought, well, God, that's pretty vague. You think you come with some more detail than that? Truth. I remember when I was a young man, I wasn't raised in the church. I got in church when I was 18. And one day, I'm reading Matthew chapter 28, and I went to my pastor. I caught him in the hallway, and I said, it says it right here. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But I never saw a baptism take place in the name Father, Son, Holy Ghost in the Bible. There's not one. It doesn't exist. Father, Son, Holy Ghost is only spoken one time in the scripture. That's Matthew chapter 28. You know why? Because that was instructions. Jesus was giving instructions, and here's what he said. He said, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father. A little louder, please, for those getting here. The name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost. I and my Father are one, he said. He said, I need to go so the Comforter can come. And he said, what's the name? I said, well, that was easy. You see, truth is easy when you want it. Truth is easy when you want it. Don't be afraid of truth. Truth won't hurt you. Truth will set you free. The father of lies knows that. And because of that, he'll try to keep us living a lie, living in delusion, living and believing all kind of trash and all kind of junk. Let me tell you something. The devil will push you in ministry. Why? Because you can't be effective unless you are under submission, unless you are living in full truth. You'll never be fully effective. He wants more false prophets like we talked about in the very beginning here. He wants all the false, sowing all the confusion in the world. I heard this preacher say that, and that preacher says this, and this preacher says this. That's not the gospel. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is above all and through you all and in you all. That's Jesus Christ. I know I've belabored this, so let me end with this right now. Truth. We are here today because we want truth. Deep down inside, every one of us want truth. You might not have shown up here expecting to hear about truth. You might think you know the truth. You might know the whole truth. All I know is the Bible is so vast and God is so deep and his mysteries are so great. I don't think we'll ever know all the truth. But I'll tell you one thing. I can go into pursuit of truth. I'm going to pursue truth. I want truth. I told God in 2005, I will not preach this message anymore until you tell me that it's the truth. Because I will not deceive people. That was my prayer, and I stuck to it until God began opening up my mind and my understanding in a level that I had never known before. Truth. If you want truth, regardless of any level, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. If you don't come, I'm presuming you don't want truth. Because I have made an invitation to you if you want truth. I know that puts some of you on the spot. I know that. You can't tell me to do that. Really? Didn't the prophet tell Nicodemus to bathe 7 times in the river if he wanted his miracle? Truth. 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 Do I look fat in this? Yes. Wear something different. Wear black. I'm just kidding. Don't be that truthful. I know that this church wants to be a church of truth. And I'm doing my very best to do my part to help us be a church of truth. I want you to do me a favor for yourself. Don't worry about me right now. No one's coming to you unless I feel really led of the Lord. But I want you to lift your hands and say, God, I want truth in its purest form in my life. Listen to me. Before you do, hold on. God will start showing you things in your life if you'll pray that prayer. I want truth, not just this morning, but this week. I want you to wake me up and speak truth into my ears. I want to know if where I'm living is right. I want to know if there's things that I need to know more. I want to know if there's more you're trying to show me. I want the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Let's lift our voices as they sing, and let's lift our hands. Come on, and let's call on him. Cry unto the Lord right now. Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 glory. Hallelujah.
I speak victory.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Over every life, over every family. I speak victory over every situation and over every nation.
Show me where I'm living right now, Jesus.
Every enemy.
Show me where I am, Jesus.
Every strong hill is brought down. I speak victory.
If you're thinking about this water baptism thing, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, I want to make an invitation. Just come up over here. I'll come talk to you. We'll get your robe. You can change. Let's let God do what he wants to do in his house today.
I speak victory and victory in the name of Jesus. I speak victory over every life and over every life and over every life. victory.
I speak victory
over every situation.
Over every situation. And over every nation.
Every enemy.
Cause every enemy is conquered. Every stronghold is
we got one wanting to get baptized. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I speak victory. We're bringing home every son and daughter. The rulers of darkness have to bow. I speak victory.
I speak
victory.
Every enemy
is conquered. Every stronghold is brought down. I speak victory.
We're bringing
home every son and daughter. The rulers of darkness have to bow. I speak victory.
The kingdom
of God is moving forward. Revival is here, it's all around. I speak victory. There's nothing to fear, our steps are ordered. Nothing can stand against us now. I speak victory.
There's victory in the name of Jesus.
Here's the truth. I'm going to have Brother Jerome come and pray in a minute. Here's the truth. Our world is in chaos. Jesus is readying his bride. He's sending us to preach truth because nothing else is going to work. Listen, I don't care if you've been in church for 2 days or 2 years or 20 years or 60 years. All that matters is that we're ready when he comes. All that matters is we're ready when he takes us out of this life. He does not hold us hostage for our past sin or for our past failures. That's the truth. The truth is, don't listen to the father of liars. He'll keep you bound by his lies. The truth is, you can be redeemed. You can be set free. And the Lord loves you unconditionally. That's the truth. So I want you to come. Will they sing again? I want you to pray that God will help us receive.
Let's lift our hands and let's lift our voice. Lord, we know that your word in Proverbs says to buy the truth and to sell it not. I pray today, Lord, that we buy into the truth today. God, if there's been doubt in our hearts, doubt in our minds, doubt in our home, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, make clarity happen today in our minds. Make clarity happen today in our hearts and in our spirit. God, we've already heard the word today. The word it's already been preached excellently, but I pray, God, that we don't let this fall on deaf ears or let it fall at this altar and not leave this place with us. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that we can let this come home with us. Let it enter our prayer closet. Let us digest this today, God, and make it a part of our everyday life. Lord, that we would not just, that we wouldn't sell the truth, but God, we would live it. God, that we would love it. God, that we would carry it with us everywhere we go. God, in the way that we carry ourselves, God, in the way that we operate. Lord, this world needs more truth. This world needs more Christians that will live the truth and not just speak the truth. God, this world doesn't need just more preachers, but it needs more people that would live, God, the truth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah.
Victory in the name. There's victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name of Jesus. Victory in the name. There's victory in the name of Jesus.
Victory over
my name of Jesus.
Victory
in the name of Jesus.
Victory in the name of Jesus.
There's victory in the name of Jesus.
Victory in the
name of Jesus.
Victory over your
name of Jesus. Jesus, victory in the name of Jesus, victory in the name. Oh,
baptize Lindsay in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes baptism powerful is it's your decision, not that it was forced at birth. It's your decision. Wherefore, I know I already said it, but I want to say it. Baptism doth now also save us, not the putting of the way of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Amen. So we're going to baptize her. Where's Brother Drone? You got a microphone? Pray for us over this baptism, if you would.
Lord, we're so thankful for this word that we heard today, and we're so thankful for her. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, as she goes down in this watery grave, I pray, Lord, God, that this day would be a staple in her life, Lord, that she can look back on the decision she made today, God, to go down in this watery grave, Lord, but to come up a new creature, as your word says. I pray, God, that you give her strength, Lord, to teach your word, God, to not only teach it, but to live it. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
Yes, we shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
Yes, we shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe.
report. His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
Whose report will you believe?
We shall believe the report of the Lord.
His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory.
Jump in the river, jump in the river, jump in the river.
His report says I am healed. His report says I am filled. His report says I am free. His report says victory.
Jump in the river. Dismiss in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I hope that everybody has a great Sunday. We did need to make an announcement that VBS is this week, correct? Is it all week long? Okay. This week, all week long. Have some kids come. They'll have a great time. I know that Sister Connie's put a lot of work in there and a lot of other people have helped. All right. Be blessed.